The days of unleavened bread are certainly so full of lessons for us, aren't they? In many ways, there are the many parallels that can be drawn with the historical events of the Old and New Testaments. And there are also lessons of the symbols, like the symbol of unleavened bread. So I was looking at what Jesus himself said about leavening. And you can find, if you look it up, that he only spoke about leavening in people in three places, three chapters of the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew 6, he spoke of leaven as being the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Luke chapter 12, he spoke of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But just one place, if you ever notice, there's just one place in the Gospels where Jesus speaks about the leaven of one person. And that's in Mark chapter 8, verse 15. When I can turn there, just quote it, where he said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which he said before, "and the leaven of Herod." Did you ever notice that? We're used to considering the religious hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but what about Herod? It's a small point, but I think it's a small point that's suitable for a short message this morning. What does the leaven of Herod teach us? As I said, Jesus spoke of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees being hypocrisy. A hypocrite is an actor, literally, or anyone who's a pretender. It's pretending. Someone who misleads others by feigning sincerity or adopting a false persona. So when it's applied to a Pharisee or a Sadducee, I think we usually think of Jesus when he's deliberately making the Pharisees and the priests and the Sadducees angry. For example, in Matthew 23:27, he says, "You scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you are like unto whited sepulchres." Supposedly religious teachers, but missing the point. Or Paul before the high priest, where Paul calls the high priest, "You whited wall." But in those cases, hypocrisy is by religious people, claiming to be religious but wanting to be held up as religious, as using religion as a pretext for power or influence. But in Mark 8:15, he adds, "and the leaven of Herod." So what about Herod? He's not religious. Herod doesn't have a doctrine. So what is his hypocrisy? What's his leaven? First of all, we should note which Herod we're talking about, because there are three Herods, which is a little confusing in the New Testament. The original Herod was Herod the Great, but Herod the Great lived 72 BC and died in about 4 BC. Evil, of course, an evil man. He had all the boy babies in the Bethlehem area killed, of course, at the time of Jesus' birth. But he's called Herod the Great because of his building projects. He renovated and expanded the temple, which was a great project. But he died, as I said, in 4 BC, so we're not talking about Herod the Great here. Jesus is speaking some 30 years after that. The Herod during Jesus' ministry was Herod Antipas. Sometimes he's called Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Great gave his kingdom to three of his sons. He had seven sons. And the first that he gave a kingdom to was Archelaus. And he had the main area of Judea, that is Judea and Samaria, Idumea. But in 6 AD, the Romans replaced Archelaus with a Roman governor. And so, you know, the main part of Palestine was governed as a Roman province. So we're not talking about Archelaus, but the other two sons who were given sub-rule were in the north. Herod the Great gave the area north of the Sea of Galilee to his son Philip, which doesn't sound like a very Jewish name, Philip, but he was the tetrarch north of Galilee. And he gave the area of Galilee where Jesus lived, plus a little bit of the area east of the Dead Sea, he gave that to Herod Antipas, one of his sons. And these two sons then in the north were called tetrarchs, which is also confusing because tetrarch implies four. Were there four tetrarchs? Well, there weren't. It's a Roman word, and it can be used mainly to say a sub-king. So there were two sub-kings in the north, Philip and Herod Antipas. In Acts, there was also a third Herod, which was Herod Agrippa. He was the grandson of Herod the Great by another one of Herod the Great's sons. But Agrippa didn't start ruling until about 37, so that's well after Jesus' time. Not well after, but 6 years after Jesus' death. And so we're not talking about Herod Agrippa. It's Herod Antipas. Mark is warning the disciples of the leaven of the current Pharisees and the current Herod, which would be Herod Antipas. So what was his leaven? You know, it's true that Herod Antipas was a Jew, religiously, but not racially. Right? The Herods were Idumeans. Idumean is a Greek word for an Edomite. They were Edomites. The Edomites had been driven out of their land, which is east of the Dead Sea. They had been driven out by the Arabs, the Nabataeans, who took over that area. And so those Edomites moved into the southern Palestine area and into an area later called Idumea. And it was there that they were conquered by the Jewish kings, the Maccabees. But the Jews didn't kick them out as long as they converted to Judaism. So these Edomites converted to Judaism. And then Herod's father gained influence by befriending and aiding the Romans when they conquered Judea. And so that's how Herod became the king. So Herod Antipas really had a foot in each of two worlds. He was a Jew, a practicing Jew. They were nominally Jews. But also he owed his power to the Romans. He was a loyal Roman. So he had to maintain his power by balancing his Jewishness on one hand and his loyalty to Rome on the other hand. In Luke 13, I won't turn there, but there's a reference there where Jesus is warned that this tetrarch of Galilee is probably going to try to kill him, and Jesus refers to him as that fox, right? That fox, Herod, because he's maintaining his position politically between being a king of the Jews and being loyal to the Romans. It was Herod Antipas in the north then who had John the Baptist killed. He had denounced Herod, and Luke's gospel says that John reproved Herod for him taking his brother Philip's wife, Philip being his brother the tetrarch farther north. And Luke adds, and for all the evils which Herod had done. So he's not all that, I mean, he did evils to maintain his power. In Luke 3, Herod is has imprisoned John, and he's eventually going to kill him at the urging of his wife. I was going to turn to, not Luke 3, but Mark 6. Mark 6. Talking about the leaven or the hypocrisy of Herod. Luke 6, verse 18. John had said unto Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That was Herodias. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, against John, and would have killed him, but she could not. Why? Because, verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. It's better translated, I think, in the New English and some other newer translations, they say, because Herod stood in awe of John. He was a religious man. Since he knew that John was a righteous and holy man, when Herod heard him, when Herod heard John, he was thoroughly baffled, yet he liked to listen to John. Foot in both worlds, I would say. As king over the Jews, Herod recognized what was good and what was evil. But when it came to practical things in his case, maintaining his power, he bowed to political necessities. And the same way in his dealings with Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, verse 7 says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, by Jesus, and he was perplexed because that it was said by some that John was risen from the dead. And Herod was afraid that might be true. Verse 9, and Herod said, John I have beheaded. Who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. He respected both John and Jesus. He even thought that Jesus might be the resurrected John. And then in Jerusalem, at Jesus' trial, Herod is also there, and he has a part in Jesus' trial. This is in Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 6 and forward. When Pilate heard that Jesus was a Galilean, when he heard Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Verse 7, and as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. So Herod had come down to Jerusalem to observe the holy days. But Jesus was a subject of Herod's, since he lived in his territory. Verse 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen a miracle done by him. He respected Jesus. He was a religious man in a sense. He was a nominal Jew. He was there in Jerusalem to keep the holy days. He knew Jesus was a man of God. But then verse 9, he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus wasn't going to give him any ammunition to be arrested by Herod, transported back to Herod's tetrarchy or executed by Herod, because he knew he had to die in Jerusalem. And verse 9, and the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused Jesus. And then Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again back to Pilate. He found nothing wrong in Jesus. He knew better, as he had found no guilt in John the Baptist. But as a politician, he had to defer to the pressure of the priests and the scribes. In other words, he betrayed his religious beliefs for his political power. He was a Jew in outward form, but in actual practice, he put his career first. And that is hypocrisy. In Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8, I won't turn there, but I'll just quote it. Jesus says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is another term for the violation of the third commandment. You shall not bear God's name in vain, however you want to word it. Hypocrisy is the violation of that commandment. Herod called himself a Jew, that is, he bore the name of God's people. He claimed that he was one of them, but he carried that name as an actor. And that's the definition of hypocrisy. Though he was not a religious teacher, like the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he put the form out in front, but he did not have the substance. Okay, is that a lesson for us? What does that have to do with us? I know I'm speaking to a room full of the faithful here. You're Your dedication, your endurance has been tested over many years, and that kind of form over substance is not expected as a problem, is not known as a problem here, but there is a possibility. There's a possibility of what Paul termed being weary in well-doing. I've been in the church for 55 years or so. When the form of the faith becomes so routine that it becomes a ritual, it's possible to go through its motions and forget its real meaning, or tire of it because it's so familiar. It could become just keeping up appearances. You don't have to be a religious leader. I don't have to be a religious leader or a preacher to be a hypocrite the way the Pharisees were, and I can just become someone who's merely interested in the faith, as Herod was interested in the faith. But when it came to a choice between piety and the practical, if we don't have the extreme practicality of maintaining power and authority like Herod, but then his true colors came out. He respected John, but he killed him because John was a threat to his power. He believed Jesus was a holy man, but he would not anger the Jewish religious leaders whose political support he needed. In other words, his faithfulness to God was form and appearance, but his substance was on the practical, which was his power. And that, I'm saying, is the leaven of Herod that we must not allow in ourselves.